Oh, well, I don't know about you lot, but after that weekend, I need to talk about it. It's been exciting. So, welcome back to Racecast. If you're new here, follow us, like us, subscribe to us, comment down below, get involved. We love it. Our regular viewers do it. So, make sure you become one of them. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or something else, don't use something else, just use the other two, then make sure you give us 5 stars. It really does mean a lot to us. And yeah, it massively helps us out. So you can also follow us on social media. We do quite a lot on Instagram. Matt is fairly active on the Twitter, and we have a little TikTok where we put little bite-sized clips of this brilliant podcast out every week. So you can just search Racecast in any three of those. Use your initiative. We'll pop up. But anyway, like I say, a lot to talk about. I'm not going to hang around. Let's crack on.
All right, guys, welcome along to another episode. Luke, I have to admit, I love Brazil. It's actually my favorite race on the calendar. It never fails to disappoint.
So I've actually also said this previously. There's
Yeah.
been a question, what is your favorite track race of the season? Brazil. It's always Brazil. I don't know why. There's something etched into my brain about that track.
I think it's one of my favorites from playing F1 games over the years as well.
It's also, yes, it's a lovely track
Yeah.
to race on the game. But what I didn't know is it actually, out of all the tracks on the calendar this season, it has the highest average amount of overtakes per race.
Oh, yeah,
So,
gotta be.
we always say, this is a big part of bringing in the new cars. Allow cars to race. We need overtaking to happen. And, this is a track where it is at the top end of that, where we see maximum overtakes and we get proper racing.
Yeah, no, I love it. Well, guys, we've got so much to talk about. We've got K-Mag getting pole. We've got George Russell winning a sprint race. We've got Mercedes back in it. We've got Verstappen, Perez. We've got so much to talk about, so stay tuned. But before we get started, hit that like button, subscribe if you are new on YouTube. Yeah, and as Luke said, I haven't really pushed Twitter much, but I do post a lot on Twitter.
Twitter's the easy one, isn't it? It's where you can just like type all your thoughts during a race.
Yeah, and then you realize once you finish writing it, you're like, actually, I can't post that.
Oh, well, this is presumably calling Max Verstappen a.
A lovely man, a
I'll
lovely
let you
man,
finish that
a lovely
sentence at
man.
home.
But before we get into talk about Brazil, has anyone seen the Timo Glock Lewis Hamilton interview?
No, I literally, it was like coming next, and then I had something to do, so like I couldn't watch it, but I really want to see it.
It's lovely to
Because
watch.
explain for those who don't understand the Glock Hamilton link.
So what happened back in Lewis Hamilton won his first world championship in Brazil. Felipe Massa went past the finish line. He won the race. It looked like he was going to be world champion. Lewis Hamilton had to finish in the top five. At this point in the final lap, he was P6.
Yeah, because he had been overtaken by Sebastian Vettel.
Yeah.
There had been a lot of the rain had come, basically.
So much had gone on in it. And all of a sudden, you hear Martin Brundle come over commentary going, is that Timo Glock? Timo Glock's going behind.
Bear in
Lewis
mind,
Hamilton goes
this
past him.
on the last corner of the last lap.
Yeah. Lewis Hamilton overtook it, finished P5, ended up winning his first world title.
And there's like footage of Massa's family all celebrating in the Ferrari garage.
Yeah, you've got Nicole Scherzinger.
Yeah, shirt slinger.
Scherzinger celebrating outside, jumping up and down.
Nicole Scherzinger.
And her as well, she was there. But it was just the most bizarre end of a race I've
Yeah,
seen in
and I mean,
ages.
talk about Lewis and dramatic championships.
Yeah,
Do you know what I mean?
he knows how to be part of them.
Yeah.
But it was a really interesting interview. And one of the things I didn't realise is Timo Glock got a lot of stick. He got a lot of
What, from
hate.
Massa fans or Ferrari fans?
Ferrari fans. And he suffered badly with it. And there's a real nice clip where Lewis Hamilton said, I'm sorry I couldn't be there for you because, I was young. I didn't realize what you were going through. And he was really apologetic and he was like, I'm sorry, I've obviously matured now and you dealt with it. But it was re go and watch it. It's a really nice,
Because
heartfelt.
I don't think it's long, is it?
It's not long, no, but it's really cool. And seeing someone like Timo Glock, you kind of forget about these drivers, but
Yeah,
actually seeing them come back in
that's the thing.
is
He
great.
is—he's one of those drivers that was just there in a part in time. He's not necessarily like an iconic
Yeah.
driver, and you've got so many of these throughout the years. So,
Pasto Maldonado.
Everyone remembers him for being a prized terrorist.
He's kind of like, you wouldn't want to race against him, would you, at all?
No, it's like playing F1 with you.
If anyone doesn't know, Luke and I, we play F1 weekly. You know, there's a few of us who play. You invited me into the group, didn't you? It was quite nice of you.
He's getting banned, might I add.
Let's just say I triggered Luke last week to a whole new level of... You lost your mind. But let's just go back to the actual racing, okay? Mm-hmm. Granted, it was my fault. But the fact that I kept going with it and going, no, it's not my error.
But I feel like you genuinely think it wasn't your fault.
No, I genuinely felt it was my... one. There's a couple which weren't my fault. I mean, that one in Brazil, you literally just went into the back of me.
But
twice.
But nothing happened. I tapped the back of you.
Yeah, but...
The reason, right, when you're racing against someone that's so unpredictable, forget about the racing line. He doesn't give a shit about it. He's all over the gaff, swerving... So, like, I'm trying to get past and then he's moving left to right. So, I have to be somewhere. So, like, I gave you a tap in the back. That was me smashing the brakes as well at the same time.
Yeah, no, in my opinion, racing line. Anyway, shall we get on to what we're really here for? Brazil. Let's talk about Brazil. Let's start off, you know.
Well, and stick around. We will talk about Abu Dhabi.
God, we've got so much to talk about. Let's start off with qualifying. Did anyone ever imagine that Kevin Magnussen would be on pole?
No, certainly K-Mag didn't either.
Did anyone predict that Ferrari would have another shocking strategy? Yes.
Yes. Now, that was one of the more expectable outcomes from the weekend.
The weird thing is, it didn't surprise me. When I saw them putting him out on Inters, I was like... It just seems like a normal strategy for them.
Yeah, it literally... I don't understand how it made sense. I guess they were anticipating it's too wet for slicks. And if we get out there right away, we're going to be the fastest on the Inters because it's currently driest. But the fact that every other car knew that slicks were the tyre. Carlos Sainz.
It brought me back to it. Gave me flashbacks of Hungary when Lewis Hamilton lined up on the grid just on his own when everyone else pitted.
Yeah. It's just... And you know, but that was a different scenario because on that formation lap, you're not allowed to communicate
with
your pit wall or anything. So, you know, Lewis is going based off what he can see, but Ferrari have all the data.
Yeah. It was a shocking decision. And then, you know, so if you don't know, basically went into Q3. Everyone went out on slicks except Charles Leclerc. And K-Mag has... They timed it perfectly. And, you know, obviously they went out. George Russell ended up beaching his car, shall we say.
Which...
Caused a red flag. Everyone had to come in. So by that time, Kevin Magnussen had already set a lap. George Russell was already in.
Which we should also not... I think the K-Mag getting pole is looked over quite a lot because of this red flag. And he'd still set a really good lap.
Yeah.
They'd got him out there nice and quickly. So he was in front. So he was able to utilise the driest track.
Yeah, the strategy was spot on. Got him out there first. And yeah, he was a good lap. But he looked good all weekend up until Danny Ric.
Yeah, because obviously, you know, so we get to the sprint race. We've got K-Mag in P1. It was quite a... Obviously, the sprint race, I thought, was made more interesting, actually, by that red flag.
Mm.
Because the red flag gave us a grid that actually wasn't wholly representative of how that grid should look like.
Yeah.
You know, Lewis down in, was it P8, P7, something like that?
P8.
When we could see that the Mercedes were the quickest car, and then you had George Russell in P3, and you had Max in the P2. Red Bull, which weirdly didn't look very good this weekend, in P2, and you just had all these cars all over the place. What I want to know is, when was the last time that, not including like retirements or anything. When was the last time, if it's ever happened, two cars from the same team qualified P20 and P1? Because Mick qualified P20.
Yeah.
And then K-Mag qualified P1. Has that ever happened before?
I'm sure it has. I can't imagine it's happened that often.
If you know of a time previously, let us know when the last time was. Because I just found that. I was like, to someone just watching, they must be like, how is that possible? Because it doesn't make sense. I mean, it doesn't even really make sense.
And if you're new and you know the Schumacher name, and you're looking and going, Schumacher, P20.
Must be a reverse grid.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. but the sprint race, great start by K-Mag. Led the first lap. He was a solid start.
He got away, for someone that has never started in P1 before, he got away like someone who knew how to start from P1.
Great start for him. But, you know, I really enjoyed the sprint race. I thought the sprint race was decent.
Yeah, we've given sprints a bit of stick on here. I think if you get a sprint race like that every weekend, not every weekend, I still don't want them every weekend, but when you have them, if they're like that every time, then I think they're a brilliant addition to the sport.
Yeah.
But you know, we said it, Brazil is an overtaking track. Now, how many of those do we truly have? There's not...
Not many.
If you have it at the wrong track, then... It's just going to be pointless.
Yeah. No.
It needs to be tracks where you're getting these high amount of overtakes.
Brazil doesn't disappoint.
No, it doesn't.
I thought the sprint race was really enjoyable. You know, Lewis up to P3. Sainz was solid, got P2. Obviously, he got his five-place grid penalty, which meant there was a front row grid for Mercedes.
Yeah, their first front row lockout for... A long while.
Well, it's their first in the race. It's their first 1-2 in over 2 years.
Oh God, yeah, it would be.
Yeah,
but Lewis and Bottas didn't get
many
last season. At least, did they get any last season?
I don't think no, because it would have been over 2 years. So no, they didn't.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, what the sprint race showed is if you want to advertise a sprint race, you go Brazil. But like you say, there's not many races throughout the year. Like Imola this year, for example, wasn't enjoyable.
No, and
it
wasn't a great
sprint race.
This thing, you know, like you say, Brazil was a great advertisement for why the sprint race can be a good addition.
Yeah.
But it does need to be executed at the right tracks.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to make sure there is the right amount of tracks for it. You know, don't just cram sprint races in for the sake of cramming them in. If we know we're at a track where overtaking is very possible, we have quite a lot of it generally, throw it in.
Yeah.
It, you know, because it's great. And I still think, you know, six maximum in a season, you don't want too many. Because
six is fine.
You also want to keep them... You want to look forward to a sprint weekend.
You want to make them special still. You still want them to be actually worthwhile.
Because it is great from like a content perspective of like, okay, Friday, quali. Saturday, sprint race. And then Sunday race. And Crofty was saying on commentary, you know, like, I don't know about you, but this is much better than an FP3 session.
Yeah.
And yeah, it is.
If it's done on the right track.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just, it's the same as an FP3 session. Yeah. You know, watching a... Yeah, it's all well and good watching these cars go around thinking they might be overtaking, but sometimes you can just tell when it's just, no, this is just how it's going to stay. There might be a few switches in the midfield.
Nothing else.
But you want, it was so unpredictable.
So George Russell, you know, really delighted for him to get P1 heading into Sunday. Let's quickly touch on Alpines. Alonso, Ocon, coming together in a sprint race.
I don't know about you. I genuinely watched those and thought, Ocon has done nothing wrong here.
No.
First one, he had the race in line. He was in front. And Fernando just... Yeah, he got run out wide. But I don't think he was really run out wide. I think he was trying to make a move when...
It wasn't there.
He couldn't make the move. Yeah. And then he slipped a bit on the curb. And then when he lost his front wing...
Well, he was well too close.
He just drove into the back of him.
Yeah. I didn't quite understand it. I think obviously what's shown is Alonso is, he's had enough there. He's ready to go.
Yeah,
he's ready
yeah.
to leave Alpine. I love the memes though from this. Is that okay? You're worried about Ocon.
Yeah.
Have you seen your
have fun with Stroll?
Yeah.
Because obviously you saw Stroll
taking off Vettel. What was that about?
Just completely running him into the grass. Like that was bad.
Great handling though from Seb.
Well, I mean, he handled the car well and he handled the situation well. Did you hear him on the radio?
He just said okay or something. Yeah. Okay.
I thought that was good.
But yeah, I don't understand. It was just very childish. That whole battle, that first lap or so was just childish. But then it showed in the race as well, because they said to Ocon, okay, can you let Alonso past? He's quicker, he's on fresher tyres. And Ocon's like, well, no, because let me race. I want to fight Seb.
But also, I think what he was saying was, well, I can get Seb here.
Yeah.
Let me get Seb. And then, because he did give the position to Alonso. So I kind of understood his point in that, where he, you know, he had a good argument. You do lose time when you give a position to your teammate, because you've got to slow down into a corner or something, or as you're coming out of a corner, you slow down just to let him through. So his argument was, well, actually, I can get Seb here, so let me get him. In theory, if Alonso's quicker, he'll get him, and then he can just come past me.
What's your thoughts on Sergio Perez, Max Verstappen in the sprint race before we get onto the actual race? Because obviously, Perez came over the radio and was like, guys, I'm fighting for P2 here. Can you let me pass so I'll get it? He was 1.8 seconds behind Max, okay? I know there was a lot of stick about, okay, you know, Red Bull should have switched it. I kind of disagree on this side of it, because actually Max was 1.8 seconds ahead. He has risk from behind. I can't remember who was behind. Was it like
Leclerc
or someone? The more you slow down and let go, you're going to lose. You put pressure under Leclerc, which is going to cause more issues. So I felt like...
Yeah, I did. I could understand that one. I still at the same time think, why wouldn't you? The thing is, I think Max is now a lot of the time thinking of the stats.
Yeah.
I want to be a stat man as well. You know, rightfully so. His stats are incredible. You want to retire with brilliant stats. But at the same time, you don't want to become the prick. So he has nothing more to gain this season. He's champion.
Yeah.
Done it, like, emphatically. Checo has done a lot for him. Maybe it would have made sense to switch, because I still think Max would have kept Leclerc behind. But I understand when there's a risk like that as to why you don't. I don't think it was the end of the world, but I could understand why Checo was asking.
Yeah, and you've also got to remember Max was quicker than Checo. So Checo going past and then Max having to hold off Leclerc because Leclerc is catching. I can understand where the pressure could come from.
Yeah, because you've got Max who can't go any further or any quicker because he can't overtake Perez because he's just given him the position. And then he's got Leclerc hot. Because that Ferrari was quicker than the Red Bull this weekend.
Yeah, 100%. It just didn't make... I kind of can see why they didn't do that one. That one I can kind of accept. I'll kind of be like, yeah.
We will touch on the big one very soon.
So that's the sprint race. Moving on to Sunday, race day. So I know we seem to be going a lot quicker than normally, but there is so much to talk about in this podcast. Yeah. So let's talk about the race. So George Hamilton, front row, great start from George.
Similar to K-Mag.
Similar to K-Mag.
Lightning.
Lewis got a good start as well. It seemed to be like, was it Leclerc and Perez and Max who were in a bit of a battle going into turn one.
But you had Norris up there.
God, Norris, what was he? He was just flying through, wasn't he?
Yeah.
What was he doing?
Norris was up there.
He was just like, yeah.
He had a great weekend.
He did until he retired.
Yeah. Of course, yeah.
Lap one, K-Mag taken out by Danny Rick. Danny Rick spun him. He spun back around, just took out Danny Rick.
This was... it's a shame. Danny Rick had such a good weekend.
He does. Last
week in Mexico.
This is prime Danny Rick. He has a good race. Oh, wow. He actually does have it. And he goes and does stuff like
this. And then you're like, oh, no, actually, that's the Danny Rick we're more familiar
it's
with.
It's very hard to defend someone who keeps not helping himself.
Yeah, yeah, no, it is. And, you know, I was gutted, but then, like, I saw the replay and I was just like,
why? It was not needed.
Like, what was he even doing?
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't needed. It was just not...
Because it's not like there was a gap there or anything. It just looked like he just drove into him.
Yeah.
Like, on purpose. It's like he wanted an early shower or something.
Come on, lads, let's call it okay.
Yeah, like, it was strange to me because I was trying to put myself in his position and thinking, like, what did you see there that, like, I didn't? And I know it's very different. I'm sitting on my sofa eating fucking crisps.
What type of crisps?
I probably wasn't even eating crisps. But you know my point. Like, I'm just the typical, like, sofa fan watching.
Yeah.
But you still got to put yourself in there and be like, but surely you couldn't have seen anything there. It's not like there was a gap to dive down. He was practically on the apex.
Yeah, it was nowhere else for him to go.
It was a strange one. So, yeah, no defence. It's a shame to see because I think it would have been really good for him to go out. I know we've got one more race in Abu Dhabi, but if he, like, smashed Mexico, did really well at Brazil, then went to Abu Dhabi and put in a shift,
yeah,
I think he'd be leaving thinking, like, yeah, I'm on a high.
And people will remember that. They'll go, oh, well, actually, Danny Rick was in it. He was in, like, good form before he left.
Whereas now, even if he performed, he performed really well in Mexico, if he performed really well in Brazil, and then just did like a mediocre job in Abu Dhabi, people would be like, oh yeah, but Danny Rick, he really picked up towards the end of the season.
Yeah, but do you remember now, when he took out K-Mag?
Yeah, now I think it's just,
it's not,
we're not going to think of it like that.
No, so both cars retired, brought out a safety car.
It was VSC, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was VSC. Yeah. Was it? I swear it was a full safety.
Nah.
Because I know they brought out a VSC for Norris, which then went into a full safety. But I'm pretty sure it was a full safety.
It was full safety. Yeah, yeah. It was.
Yeah. Apologise.
I'm so sorry. It's just there was so much going on. I just can't remember.
Drive to Survive fan. Brought out a safety car. George, again, had a really good restart. Going down into turn two, Max, Lewis. Oh, you just had flashbacks of 2021.
Why can the guy not drive against Lewis Hamilton?
Well, I like the fact that everyone's blaming Lewis. That actually, Max goes up against all the other greats this year, actually manages fine. But
There are no other greats. Yeah. Seb, and he hasn't been up against him.
Yeah. Fernando. I think people are going against like Leclerc, but actually he's
not that stature.
What are your thoughts on it?
So, right, here are my genuine impartial thoughts. Lewis 100% could have left more space.
Agree.
He wasn't entitled to. He did not have to leave him any space. It was Max's duty to be like, I've been closed out here, so I just need to back out. And we know from his post-race interview, which if you haven't seen it, he essentially says, well, I could see that he wasn't going to leave the space, so I just went for it anyway. Sorry, is that not just admitting that you've crashed into someone on purpose?
Do you know how I look at it? And I genuinely believe in what I say here. Okay. After all we saw last year and this year, and when Max has an accident, whatever, when Christian Horner comes out and says he thinks it's a racing incident,
it was Max's fault.
It was Max's fault.
Always.
There's no arguing it, because only Christian Horner will argue it if he feels he's right.
Have you ever heard him say that was Max's fault?
No. Yeah. So the fact that he came out and said, I think it's probably a racing incident, highlights to me that actually it was Max's fault. But then Max was interested in his interview in a sense of, he said Lewis was going for a race win. I knew, I got a 5 second penalty.
He wasn't interesting. He was a bell end.
Yeah.
Like saying, oh, for me, it cost me 5 seconds. For him, it cost him the race win.
Which is kind of insinuating, well, it was just take him out.
I just did it to ruin his race.
Yeah. It kind of felt like that when I was listening to it.
And that's the thing, like, the crash, like, fair enough. I mean, it does always seem to be Max.
Mm.
But yeah, to then come out and say that, I think that's the point where I'm like, I don't know, mate. After being like a complete fucking knob on the radio regarding the Checo incident,
yeah,
to then coming out into the media pen and like saying that about the incident, I don't know. I think there's a Max Verstappen topic to be discussed about this week, and it's that he is painting himself in, I think, a pretty terrible light. And I think, you know, even a lot of Max fans, you've seen, like, I don't really respect this sort of...
No.
Not regarding the crash. Fair enough, if you think the crash was Lewis's fault, whatever. I mean, you know...
You're never going to agree with that. Yeah, and each fan's going to have their own opinion.
That is completely fine. I'm not here to debate that. We're all entitled to opinions. But... And I think in 9 out of 10 crashes, there's very rarely a sort of black and white, it was you. Yeah. It was all your fault.
But I also think that the FIA gave him a 5-second penalty, which also points the direction that it was Max.
So, but whether you think that or not, you know, moving on to how, you know, Max's behaviour this weekend, and we can just stick specifically to saying like, oh, well, for me, I saw there was no space. I just went for it. It only cost me 5 seconds. It cost him a race win. I don't know, like, is that who you want to look up to? Is that the guy you want to be, like, the face of F1? Because that's in theory what he's becoming, you know. He's an impeccable driver, but...
Well, he could have backed off, then taken him down, you know, into the, you know...
Yeah, but I think he knew that he wouldn't. The Mercedes was quicker, somehow. Yeah. I don't know how.
No.
But it was quicker in every aspect.
But you've seen over the last year or so with his type of him and Hamilton. I don't know why it just doesn't work with them. They can't race fairly in the sense of there's always, you know, look in Saudi Arabia, brake checked.
Yeah, and
whether you agree that was Max's fault or Lewis's fault, again they still had it coming together.
And you,
Silverstone,
you lot talk about he's raced Leclerc so fairly this season. You know, so clearly it's Lewis's fault. Just go back and analyse some of those battles. You're right, he absolutely does race him fairly. But he races him very differently.
But he also knows he's going to always 9 times out of 10 come out that's top the thing. Against Leclerc.
Sometimes, that's like, you only get this one opportunity against someone like Lewis. And it would be the same if it was the other way around. So, look, don't imagine for 1 second that we're sitting here saying that Lewis is always innocent.
No, 100% not. 100%
you know,
not.
It does take two to tango in these situations. And I think Lewis races Max as hard as Max races other people.
Yeah.
But most people normally back out, but I think Lewis is matching that energy. Only with Max, I mean, you don't really see it with any other people. I think they've clearly both got a thing against each other.
Lewis won't back out of it. Max won't back out of it. So this is why you have these.
Yeah, and they're just going to crash. And
you look at Imola last year.
But you have times where it is somebody's fault. And this time, in my opinion, it was Max's fault. But I did say Lewis could have given him more space.
Yeah.
But he wasn't entitled to.
It was his... When you look at it, it was his line.
Let's not forget also, I know it's slightly different. Ocon was being blue flagged. Well, kind of. Ocon was quicker. He's on fresh tyres, wasn't he, when this incident at Brazil happened?
Yeah.
I can't remember when it was, a few years
ago. Oh,
that
was one with Max, wasn't it?
It was... They crashed exactly the same place. Max was where Lewis's car was. And Max goes in to the garage after the race and assaults Ocon.
He's literally just pushing him. Like, he's going absolutely mental, isn't it?
You can't have it both ways. One of those people has got to be wrong.
Yeah.
So... For one of those instances, you were in the wrong. One was it?
I also have to give a shout out to Sky Sports this weekend, because I know they had their little, you know, ban from talking to Horner and that. But oh my God, they were like loving Red Bull this weekend. I don't know if you noticed it, but it was like a whole new level. Like, oh, you know, Max is doing this, you know, Horner's doing this, Red Bull. Like, they've never loved Red Bull so much in my life. I don't know if they got telling off before that they can't upset Red Bull again, but...
To be fair, I didn't notice.
It just made... It was like a... I don't know if I just noticed it more, but it was... Yeah, it was quite amusing.
I mean, obviously, Brundle thought it was...
Hamilton's fault.
Yeah. But then I saw loads of people on Twitter like, oh my god, like, he absolutely, like, bum licks Max. And I just think, like, does he? Like,
I don't think he does.
And this is my point where I say, we've all got an opinion on it. You either think it was Max's fault, Lewis's fault, or a racing incident, but
I just think this weekend was a bit more over the top than normal. And I don't know if that's just because they got telling off from last time.
Yeah, it may well have been. But they were told by the big bosses, keep them happy.
Yeah. So that incident, let us know what your thoughts. Who was at fault in that incident? Was it Max or was it Lewis? So,
and also, who's that like dickhead on Instagram that keeps commenting on all our stuff? Who is it, like, have we got
his name?
Oh my god, he is annoying. The Max fan.
Yeah, but Max does nothing wrong.
No, but this is the thing, right? So you have to be able to look at these things impartially.
Like we've always said, we are Mercedes fans, but we will give our opinion and we're fair. I genuinely feel from that instant, like you and I agree on this, Lewis could have given him space,
100%.
But he didn't have to. So as far as I'm concerned...
That's why Max got the penalty, because it was Lewis's corner.
So in this instant, in my opinion, it was Max's fault. However, you look at Silverstone last year, my opinion is Lewis's fault.
Lewis didn't hit the apex in that corner.
So we are, I'd like to think we are fair in our opinions on this, and we will give our honest opinions. And I think, you know, a few of you noticed that, and we've had some really nice comments of the fact that, you know, when they listen to us, we're not just going, oh, it's Max's fault, Max's fault, Max's fault. We do have our,
And if we also had like a little chart of who received the most praise this season from
Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
Oh god, we could do probably about 3 or 4 episodes on just what the praise we've given. But anyway, we're not on Sky Sports. So after that, there's so much that happened in there.
Well, so now at this point, obviously Max loses front wing.
Yeah.
Well, he needs a new front wing. He's lost part of it, a pretty hefty part. You then got Lewis was going really slow for a while.
I was thinking he was out.
I was like, he's got a puncture.
Yeah.
I was like, no.
Is that camera literally on the straight, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it looks like, I was just like,
and
is
you
he actually
see,
moving?
Like, so Lewis is down in like 8th at this point, Max in 7th or something. So I'm thinking, oh, well, it's over for Lewis, because I was assuming Lewis was going to have to come into the pit for something. Yeah. Max did come in, got a new front wing. Okay, Red Bull, they changed the front wing and he got new tyres in 10 seconds. That team is unbelievable. I don't know how they pull it off.
No.
I don't know who is their coach. I don't know, like, if you have a coach, but whoever is orchestrating that pit crew deserves a raise.
He's doing a great job. And because I remember Ted Kravitz talking about it, they were like, the best he's seen is over 11 seconds.
Yeah.
Never seen anything in a 10 second mark.
It was...
Because I looked at it and it said 10 seconds. And I was thinking to myself, I was like not for all of that. Really? I was like, that's mad.
So I was like, oh, has he had a penalty or something?
Yeah. No. Outrageous by their pit crew there. But obviously, George was in a league of his own this weekend. He was solid. There was no real, like...
Yeah, because at this point, what we've got, Perez P2, is it?
Yep, Sainz P3.
Yeah. Leclerc had obviously encountered some issues with...
God, he was just...
Lando Norris.
He was just nowhere, was he? So he got a little, nice little spin. Definitely Norris's fault there.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, it was. So, all this is going on, and this
What did Leclerc call him?
Didn't
he call him like a dickhead or something?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, rightfully so.
Yeah.
But, you know, through all this chaos, George Russell is, you know, he started first.
Yeah.
He's going for his first race win, because finally it's the 1 week where Mercedes have a car that is actually capable of a race win. Maybe we've had a few, but this one, definitely they're the quickest car. And he kept his cool and he drove flawlessly. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Towards the end of the race, Lewis is P2, George is P1. I'm like, just a little lock up. Just so Lewis can get in the DRS. And it sounds harsh because I like George and I, you know, he's my like natural successor to Lewis.
You wanted to see Lewis just get that win.
Yeah, I can't help it. Yeah. I'm wearing a Lewis Hamilton top.
But we'll get onto that in a second, but Let's just talk about, let's go, we'll speed right forward here and talk about when Lando retired. FIA, I don't quite understand why it's taken you so long to make decisions, because
it
took ages for them to even put a FSC out, because it was just yellow flagged for ages. Yep. They then put the FSC out. The marshals can't move the car. So then they put a full safety car out. They then bring out the safety car. The safety car goes around for ages. They leave it about five laps, it seems, before they end up allowing the back markers to go through.
They then forget about Yuki Tsunoda.
Yeah, he was just in the middle of nowhere, wasn't he? Latifi went through. Have you seen that clip of Latifi going past, what is it?
Yeah, well, he goes past, like, signs. But isn't it like, it's like the comment where it's like he's gone past Verstappen, Hamilton, Russell and an Aston Martin in one corner or something.
And they're like, God, this guy's going to go on and win it. Like, but again, the decision making, just it just baffled me this weekend, because I was sitting there going, whether it's a safety car or virtual safety car, something's got to happen, because half a lap before they made a decision.
How did they not pull a VSC instantly?
Yeah.
That, you know, that car was parked pretty close to the road.
Yeah, it wasn't like it was a...
So, yeah, I don't know. That was slow. And then, yeah, they forgot about poor Yuki. I remember seeing him just like... Because it's like he started to, like, go as if he was going to unlap himself.
And then he just was... Yeah. But then on the start, you just see him go over to the left-hand side.
Yeah, which, fair enough, Yuki. That was... that was like he's listening. Fair enough, mate. I thought that was good, you know, just to get out of the way rather than... But I'm a bit confused. Did it make it impossible for him to, like, finish anywhere higher than 18th? Because surely he was then, like, a lap behind Latifi.
Yeah. It made no sense to me. It made no sense to me. I applaud the FIA for trying to follow rules, which probably should have happened in Abu Dhabi last year. But, again, you still didn't even follow those rules.
Yeah, it was just weird.
Good start by George. And after that, he just held a restart. He just, you know, Lewis Hamilton never got in that DRS zone.
And this is the thing. What we got to say is this George looked strong all weekend, to be fair. Yeah.
He fully deserved it. And I'm really happy for him.
Yeah.
I am really happy for him.
Just a little lock up?
I think it's nice for the team. And what I liked afterwards is the bromance between Lewis.
Yeah, you can see.
Lewis was genuinely happy for George.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's like Lewis has now got to this stage where he's like, you know what? We've gone through a lot this year. He's taken a lot of changes. He's gone through a lot of, you know, learning with the team this year.
Lewis has also said, like, I don't care if I'm fighting my teammate for P5 or P4. He was like, if we're fighting for P1, it's a bit different.
Yeah.
As in for the championship, this is. So, you know, it's probably a good thing for George that they're having this kind of season, because he's got Lewis as an ally. Next season, if they're going for P1 in the championship, if they're going for the Drivers' Championship, it could be a very different relationship.
I still think next year, I think, you know, George has showed this year his moments of immaturity. And that's not me digging. What I mean is that
he's a young driver.
He's a young driver. He's still showing his mistakes. If Mercedes are
crashing into people many times.
Yep. Silverstone.
USA.
Yep. You know, that's a good name. What I mean is, if you're looking at next year, for example, when Mercedes are back to on form, like they have been for the previous 8 years, whatever, prior to this season... My money's still on Lewis will come out on top. And I know you can argue the case this year that, oh, well, hang on, well, George is finishing ahead of Lewis. But if you look into it and from what you've read, Lewis has made more changes to his car throughout the year to learn than what George has.
Yeah, they've experimented more on Lewis's car. But I just think it'll be interesting to see. I think the relationship will be different if they're challenging.
I agree. But I don't, you know what?
I'd like to think it would still be nice.
I don't think it will, because I think Lewis is just loving it. He's just enjoying his racing.
Lewis is a 7-time world champion and he wants to be an 8-time world champion.
Yeah.
there is, I'm sorry, you don't get to that level without being ruthless.
Yeah, true.
If he needs to rustle some feathers, he will.
Mate, that TikTok has been brilliant. It's like 120,000 views already.
See? The content producer.
You done well there, you done well.
But I think right now there's a more important discussion on relations within teams.
Vettel Stroll.
Close.
Scholl Bottas.
They've got a great relationship, might add. Did you see that clip of
Bottas helping Scholl?
Saying attack Latifi into turn 10, he's breaking early.
Yeah.
Lovely.
I love Bottas.
That's why I love these sort of team dynamics when you've got an older driver and a younger driver. I just think it works well.
I've got a quick question before we talk about the big one. Is I saw someone tweet something the other day. They said, wouldn't it be great if drivers could communicate with other drivers on the grid? So while you're driving around and you, for example, you've crashed or, you know, you've just had a bit of coming together, that other driver's going off and you could go, what are you doing that for? And there's a full-on argument over the radio.
It's like Alonso is ringing. Red button, that.
I would like to see it, but I think it'd make it quite... I don't think there'd be much that you could probably put on TV.
They'd have to put it on past Watershed, wouldn't they?
Yeah. But when I read it, I was like, that actually would be quite cool.
Yeah, what do you reckon? Would we like to see that, where drivers can communicate? Why can't they?
I don't know. But like that, Bottas, instead of speaking to the team, back to Joel, say to Joel, right, mate, look what I've seen. Latifi's breaking too early. Get him into there. They work as a team. It'd be great.
Yeah, but then what if like they can all hear it and then like Latifi chimes in and he's like, fuck off. Like, do you know what I mean? Like if it's just like one big group chat, they're all in like a Skype call.
Max, come on, give us a break. Why are you leading this again? Come on, just drop back a bit.
I think something like that would be better, where they're just in like a big Xbox live chat. We'll just go mental at each other.
Let us know what your thoughts are. Would you like it that all drivers could literally just talk to each other throughout the race? I think that'd be amazing. But let us know. Right, let's talk about a big topic. So, if you don't know where you've been. Sergio Perez is currently fighting for P2 in the championship. He needs as many points as he can get because he's fighting with Leclerc. It was deemed that actually Max was on the faster tyres, he was on the soft tyres. Let him go. Let him go and catch up with Alonso. That was team orders. They said, look, you know, if you can't catch him, then we'll swap the places back. It happened throughout the years.
It makes complete sense, by the way, to do this.
Yeah.
If Max can go and get extra places.
More points.
Yeah, perfect. Let him go.
So, got to the final lap. They were going to Max. Max, let Sergio pass. You're not going to get Alonso. Max, let Sergio pass. They go to Sergio. Max is going to let you past. Max, can you let him pass? And it's all like, what happened, Max? And he was like, I've told you before. I've given you my reasons. Don't ask me to do that again. That team radio, if that team radio doesn't show you who runs Red Bull, I don't know what does. Max Verstappen runs Red Bull because it was awful.
This is a product of Christian Horner. This, and we said off.
Okay. Dropping your mic there.
Yeah. We said on here before that bad man management of Max Verstappen has sort of led to the creation of this driver.
Yeah.
Now, I know that sounds silly because he is, you know, well, now a two-time world champion, but...
One and a half.
Yeah, one and a half. He hasn't...
Am I joking?
He doesn't Max show... You know, Max now is technically the team leader. Is that team leadership? That's him completely saying, I'm bigger than the team.
Yeah.
I'm also not going to help out my teammate who has done everything he can to help me out.
Sergio has been a great teammate and he has gone well above and beyond for Max Verstappen.
I would argue that Sergio Perez is the best teammate on the grid.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Yeah, and you physically cannot deny that because no other teammate has done an ounce of what he's done for another teammate.
So there's still a lot of speculation about what Max was saying about, I told you in the summer that, don't ask me this again. what we believe and what is being reported is that Sergio Perez deliberately crashed his car in Monaco to give him pole.
Deliberately
crashed his car in Monaco to mean that they got red flagged, the session was stopped, and Perez ended up on pole position. Whether that's true or not, okay, Sergio Perez has done so much for Max Verstappen. And I don't believe for a second, I know there's a lot of videos going around that, you know, hear the throttle going and different things, but I don't believe for a second Sergio Perez deliberately crashed his car to get a red flag.
Now, here's the thing. I don't believe so. But I have seen some telemetry that sort of shows, like, it is weird. There is, like, a weird drop of power, like, or injection of power.
Yeah.
But what I find funny is that Max Verstappen fans, who were all over everyone else about AlphaTauri conspiracies, why would they, like, rig a race? They'd just get banned. Well, Perez... You're accusing Perez of doing it. So yeah. I like to think that Perez is not the sort of character that would do that. And with all due respect, you know, A, why would he risk a gearbox?
Yeah.
B, I swear the only reason that session ended was because...
Sainz
crashed into him.
Yeah.
I think Perez would have got going again, wouldn't he?
Well, yeah, he was at an angle where he could have turned the car, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
because Perez went into him.
Perez went into Perez.
Sainz went into Perez.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It just seems incredibly... it just seems too hard to orchestrate while you're driving around that track.
So, Sainz, so what I'm thinking, right, going around Monaco, I'm going to go around just before the tunnel and spin. You crash
into all of a sudden he's got Carlos Sainz on board.
Yeah. They got their own secret radio on the...
I just don't know how plausible it seems. But what I will agree with is that the telemetry looks dodgy.
And
you do hear that weird, like, there is like he smashes his accelerator down, you hear the res shoot up.
Yeah.
But that could just be because it's where he's gone to put his accelerator down and because he's hit that curb.
Yeah.
You know, and the wheels have just spun. You just don't know.
But also, my argument would be that to this is, if Red Bull know this, and Max Verstappen has said, "Don't ask me to do this at all. I'm not going to help him. Don't ask me at all."
Why are you
asking Max to go past and then give a pace, tell him to spin? If you know he's not going to do that, I think what is showed this weekend is actually. And I'm not going to be harsh on Max here. At the end of the day, Max Verstappen is a two-time world champion. He can do what he wants. Quite my personal opinion, he runs Red Bull, not Christian Horner.
Yeah,
and
Christian
the
Horner
Verstappens
has...
run Red Bull, not Christian Horner. They've now made, as you said, a product in Max Verstappen that actually he has so much power there.
They've created a petulant child. That's what they've done.
What he showed this weekend, because it didn't go his way, and actually Perez needed help, I'm not helping him. And for me, I find that sad because, as we said before, Perez has done a lot. Last year in Abu Dhabi, he was phenomenal against Hamilton. You know, that and that team radio between Verstappen and Perez was lovely. Like, what a legend. Checo's a legend. You know,
yeah.
And that was actually, granted, whatever happened, but it was nice to hear that, you know, Checo did what he needed to do to help Max. Max is going, I know Sergio's only going for P2 and that means nothing.
But Max already has the championship. Do you know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't he want Checo to have P2? It's physically impossible for Max to not be P1.
Yeah.
They've already won the constructors.
So it's just like a pride thing. Don't ask me to.
Genuinely, I think he's stat padding. He wants those teammate stats. Oh, I finished ahead of my teammate in all these races. Genuinely, that is what I think.
It was interesting yesterday because obviously Max Verstappen got a bit of stick afterwards from, you know, a lot of fans. And who better to pipe in than his mother? If you don't know, Sergio Perez was pictured to be hugging another woman after the Monaco Grand Prix this year, which reported a lot of speculation whether he was cheating or not, whatever. his mum came out and goes, I can't remember what the message I sent you, but it was something along the lines of, oh, well,
cheating on your girlfriend, wife in the evening or something.
Yeah, something. I don't know why you need to get your mum involved, Max. It just seems a bit like, you know.
Mummy.
Please tell him. Jos Verstappen, on the other hand, has been very quiet.
Yeah, well.
He doesn't have Twitter.
Yeah.
Or Instagram.
I personally just don't think they're very nice people. That's just how. I don't know them personally. I'll reiterate that. But looking from the outside in, all these things you hear and, you know, different communications that are made to the media and stuff, I just always think Max doesn't come across as like a very nice person.
No. Do you know what I find sad about it? And I genuinely do find this sad, is you and I have given him a lot, you know, not, sorry, you and I have given Max Verstappen a lot of praise this year. We've given him a lot of praise in the sense of, oh, do you know what? Actually, we're starting to like him. We're starting to actually, like, you know, appreciate him as a driver and a person. And then he does stuff like this. And it just shows, it just takes me back to 2021 for the same reasons why I disliked him.
Because does that make sense? He's not even under pressure now.
No.
But, you know, he says that they've sorted it all out. He's going to help him in Abu Dhabi, which it might be too late by then, mate. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I would love it if Perez lost it by, like, 2 points.
Oh, yeah. That would be... And I'd feel sorry for Perez, but I'd be like, no, actually, Red Bull, this is your fault for not actually being a boss to Max. All you've done is just bent over for him.
Do you know what? If you're Perez, you've got to be a bit sad with it, because you've basically shown this weekend that actually they weren't going to help you in a sprint race, regardless of whether it was right or wrong. They haven't really challenged Max after this.
Yeah, but I mean, we don't know what was said internally, but yeah, I think
I can't imagine they told him off for it.
Nah, it's quite obvious that Max is in charge of that team.
But fair play to you, Max. Honestly, fair play to you. The fact that you have a team that you're pretty much in control of, I respect
that. No wonder
he's
on 50 mil a year. He probably fucking wrote the number himself.
What are you thinking? We're thinking about 12 mil.
I'll make it 50. Well, 50.
with a £200 million sign. Okay, yeah, £200 million signing contract.
It's an unlimited Red Bull for life.
I don't know. I think from a Red Bull... Red Bull over the last few weeks have not come across well. The cost cap hasn't come out well. They've been found guilty with that. Sergio Perez, you know, the fact that they haven't supported him, so fans have lost that. They're now accusing Sergio Perez of cheating in Monaco. That's that bad. They've now got Max Verstappen, who isn't working as a teammate and not helping his teammate. Red Bull as a team, their image at the moment is, I would say, is pretty tarnished. Don't get me wrong, you'll always have your fans, you'll always have, but a lot of F1 fans have lost respect.
Yeah, I think they just need to, and this is where we talk about the man management. You know, this is where Christian Horner needs to take the team by the scruff of the neck and be like, look, we're going to be the Red Bull that people expect, or that we should be.
Because they're an incredible team.
Yeah.
They really are an incredible team.
But they can't be, you know, you can't have a 25-year-old driver running you.
No.
At the end of the day, you have to be the one in charge. And for some people, that might seem ironic coming from like a Lewis Hamilton fan. But I do not think Toto Wolff would ever allow something like that to happen over the radio.
No.
And look, let's go back to, was it 2017, Hungary? Lewis was like, Bottas gave the position to Lewis. Mm. Lewis has got about 10 seconds ahead while he was still in a championship battle. But he had said, if I'm unable to overtake, I think it was Raikkonen.
Yeah. He'll give a podium.
I'll give him the position back.
Yeah.
And yeah, what was it? Last corner, he slows right down to, and I'm sure it was like 10 seconds or something.
Yeah, he gave the place back. But can I just say,
was like 20 or 30 points behind Seb in the battle at that point.
Can I just say though, Mercedes aren't always innocent in this. Look at Bottas last year. Bottas, can you abort the fastest lap? He goes and gets the fastest lap.
Yeah, but also, I think it's different when it's the other driver doing it.
Yeah, no, I get it. But Mercedes still, they're not as innocent with it.
What is so frustrating is it's like, Max, you've already achieved everything. Yeah. And everyone is like, you know, you so deserve to win the championship this year. You now have just a chance to look like a good guy as well.
Yeah.
Like, just do it.
I actually think that would probably be in the final stage for me to go, do you know what?
Fair play. I would have been like, fair play, you know, he's a ridiculously good driver and he's a team player and the leader.
Yeah.
But yeah, now it's just like, it's kind of undone for me. The good work that I think he'd done this season.
Let us know what your thoughts are on the Red Bull situation. Just finishing quickly on Brazil. Interestingly, Charles Leclerc, Carlos Sainz, they didn't switch them, did they? Which I totally agree that they did not switch, because Carlos Sainz fully deserved a podium.
The thing is, right, you can't be taking third place away. And this is also different because Max has already won the championship. Yeah. You can't be taking third place away from Sainz when you've been slower.
Yeah.
Then, like,
you haven't been in the top three the whole race, but I'll take the podium because I'm going for that.
No, I thought that was desperate from Leclerc.
Yeah.
I was cringing a little bit when he kept like crying over the radio about it.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of it.
I like him, you know, the audacity to think that you can take that podium away from Sainz.
Yeah.
No, mate, give over.
So, final race weekend this weekend coming.
I cannot believe
Abu Dhabi.
I cannot believe they're going from Brazil to the Middle East, like within a week.
Yeah,
and they're racing. That is logistically, with the amount of shit they've got to transport, pretty impressive.
With the amount of shit they've got to transport. Right, let's get into it, shall we? So, practice is on Friday, 10 to 11. FP2 is 1 till 2. FP3 on Saturday is 10:30 till 11:30. And qualifying is 2 till 3. Like it, it's all right.
Lovely.
Not as good as the evening races. I quite like the 6 o'clock race, to be honest.
What I do like is races in the dark, though.
Yeah, true.
Night races.
And the race is 1 till 3. I mean, if you don't know and you've been living under a rock for last year, Abu Dhabi was very eventful last year.
Yeah.
In a sense of,
I'm not going to think about it.
We won't. Let's just bypass it. Nothing happened. Max won fair and square. Nothing bad happened. Michael Massey is not a dick. Quiz time. How many DRS zones are there? If you're listening on audio platform, Luke has currently got his finger up trying to work it out.
2.
Well done. When was the first Grand Prix held?
Ooh. 2007.
2009. Number of laps. If you get this right, I'll pay 2 months of your mortgage.
2 months. Okay. See, I can picture the track very well.
Yes.
Very well in my head. I'm going to say a 126.8. That's not what I said.
That's
not the question. Didn't ask.
I was like,
all right, okay, so if I think it's a 126, I'm going to say there is 50. You look nervous. 57 laps.
The final one of the season. Nah, man. 58 laps.
Oh, no!
I tell you what, I had a squeaky bum time then, because I was looking at it, I was like, when you said 50, I was like,
it was, and genuinely, it's between 57 and 58.
Oh, you should have gone 58. A lap record is 126.103.
And I got a 126.8.
Yeah. And who was that held by?
Lap record? I actually reckon it was, I'm going to say Max on that final lap.
It was Max.
Was it from that final lap?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
Just because he was on the fresh softs.
I don't want to talk about the final lap.
Yeah, fair.
Let's move on from it, okay? Because as soon as you bring that up, it brings back a lot of emotions.
PTSD.
I'm actually getting a bit like worried about this weekend, because it's going to bring back a lot of bad flashbacks from last year. me dropping to the floor in disbelief and, you know,
robbery.
Top three for this weekend's Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
Well, I cannot call it for the life of me.
I cannot believe it, Jeff.
I would say Abu Dhabi is not really...
Have a think. Shall I tell you mine?
Yeah, but I'm just trying to think, like... Okay, so the Mercedes have been improving, right? So we saw... we know they've brought upgrades after Austin. They were strong at Austin. They were strong, really strong at Mexico. But then people were thinking, well, it's a high downforce track. The Mercedes issue has been top speed, really, since they've fixed all the bouncing and whatnot. So then I wasn't expecting much from Brazil, because you've got the two big straights, which is really where the overtaking happens.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, okay, you've got the middle sector where you need, you know, you can gain a lot of time through there and break the DRS from the car behind. And I'm just trying to think, Abu Dhabi, you've got, again, it's quite a fair mixture of like high speed sections.
Yeah.
Where you've got some big straights in there.
Fast corners.
Yeah, and you've got your fast corners, but you've also got some, you've got, you know, you think of sector three.
Yeah.
You've got the horrible slow bits. But I think Mercedes are going to perform well in there. So, genuinely, and for once, I don't think I'm going to sound deluded. I'm going to say Lewis, George, Max.
That's literally my same three.
Really?
Yeah. I was literally going to say this weekend, final race, Lewis has got to...
And it also, on like a spiritual level, it makes sense that like Lewis has that... His first win of the season, he's won a race in every season of his career. And then he wins it at the place where his eighth title was like taken away from him.
You can say robbed.
Yeah, it was robbed. I just think it makes sense on that sort of like, you know, it's like that full circle.
Yeah, yeah. No, I would love to see it. It's weird, isn't it, coming to Abu Dhabi this weekend, because you look at those emotions from last year. So this time, roughly this time last year, we were, I mean, tied on points. We were going into the final race of the...
It's a very different Abu Dhabi this year.
Yeah, it's
nowhere more, near as exciting.
No, it's more chilled. But we were going into that. We weren't doing this at the point, but talk me through how you were feeling at the point. Lewis Hamilton got himself back into it. Level on points going into Abu Dhabi. What were you feeling that day? Because for me, I was just... That whole weekend, I was just nervous.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't get nervous about many things, but this, I was just proper nervous.
Leading up to the race, and then when, you know, we've got the five lights.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, my heart was pounding.
Lewis got a great start, took Max on the first corner.
And then, yeah, pretty much after that, I was relaxed.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, it's fine. Then Perez held him up. You know, we get to that part of the race. I'm like...
I just remember shouting, get out of the way.
Yeah,
I was just like pure like.
And then he gets past him and you can see that he's pulling away from Max. Completely relaxed. I'm genuinely like not worried at all. I'm like, there's no way he makes a mistake. It's just going to be laser focused now. He's going for it. Then safety car. And I'm thinking, no.
I just remember like, looking at it going, no, this can't happen.
I knew something like this was going to happen. Yeah. And
well, the way the season went, something, because I was thinking, you know, the first incident where Max, well, and Lewis went collided, well, not collided, but it was a bit of like who pushed who off the track in the first lap. I was like, that surely can't be it. There's got to be something bigger that's got to happen. And
by the way, that was harsh on Max. He should have had that position.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think Lewis should have given that position back. Yeah, he never got the advantage, did he? Well, he had too big an advantage.
But yeah, it. I just knew because they came over and said, like, lapped cars are not going to be allowed to unlap themselves. Mm. And I was like, yes.
I was like,
yeah. And then all of a sudden it's just like, oh no, just the ones that are in between them. And I was like, well, that's not fair.
still to this day, I don't know how that was made.
Lewis earned those.
He earned them. But let us know here. I'm not going to bring this up again. Final time. Let us know if you agree with me here, okay? Letting five cars go, you know, anyone that day knew you got Max Verstappen behind on fresh softs, okay? Not a slow car, fast car. Got fresh softs. Lewis Hamilton is on old hards.
And you've got no DRS.
No DRS.
So he wasn't going to be able to fight him back.
Logically, Red Bull, it benefited Red Bull. My opinion is, if you're going to do that, red flag it. Everyone goes on to fresh soft. You got a final lap, whatever,
yeah.
as you are.
I was praying for a red flag, yeah. Honestly.
Because when you saw Max pit and they come over and goes, you know, hang on, why aren't you pitting him? It made perfect sense why Mercedes weren't pitting, because they would have just lost track position. They could have ended up behind the safety car anyway. So
yeah.
Mercedes were in a very tricky position. But I just remember looking and all of a sudden hearing over the radio, Max was like, is he behind me? And I was like, but he's on fresh softs. And then it just,
everything.
I just remember my heart was just sinking, because I was like, Max, he's got this.
But this weekend is going to be completely different. It's not going to be anywhere near as exciting.
No.
There's nothing at stake
this
weekend. Well,
it will be if Lewis wins.
But I do believe Lewis is going to win this weekend.
Yeah, no. Let us know what your thoughts. Who are your top three for this weekend's Abu Dhabi Grand Prix? But I'm definitely going Lewis, George, Max. Okay, so we are going to do fan questions now. So each week we ask you guys to send in your fans' questions. We ask you to send in your questions.
Each week we hop on Instagram and we ask you to send in your questions, whether it's about the race, the upcoming race, or you want to know what colour shirt complements your eyes. And at the end of every podcast, we go through them and we give you our answers.
Isn't this mad? This is a final race weekend.
It is.
This year has flown by since starting this podcast. Yes. And I have to admit, I've loved it.
I wish it was last season, though.
Yeah, but like you said, you'd be too invested.
It's too emotional.
Too emotional. We'd be too emotional.
Max and Checo. Do you think there will be consequences? That's interesting. We actually didn't touch on that in our...
No, because I remember seeing a question about this.
See?
Don't want to... Yes, in all honesty, next year, I honestly believe Sergio Perez will be half the teammate he has been over the last 2 years.
Yeah, so I don't think there'll be internal consequences. Let's be honest, Horner has not got the balls to tell Max off.
No.
I think it will be more that the consequences are going to be felt next season when Max needs Checo to hold someone up and Checo just pulls to the side and waves him by. Like, I think that's more likely.
I can't wait, right? Can you imagine it? Paint the scene. Next year, final race of the season, Max Verstappen needs, you know, one place to win a title.
Checo T-bones in.
Checo is in front of him. Checo, give the place back to Max so he can win a title.
Nah.
No, that would be epic.
I told you guys before, don't ask me again.
Yeah. I told you last year in Brazil. That's it. But no, I think there will be consequences on track, not off track.
This is a good one, because as we approach the final race of the season, I believe, how many points is there between Merck and Ferrari? Is it like 18 or something?
Yeah, it was 40 before. Bear with me, Corner.
So basically, this question is asking, who would you bet on for the Constructors' second place?
I would go for Mercedes. I can tell you. So Ferrari on 524 points and Mercedes on 505. So what's that, 19 points?
Yeah. Okay, so for first place, you're getting 25 points.
Yep.
Second, you're getting 18.
Yep.
Quick math, 43.
Yep.
Now, what are you getting if you finish fifth and seventh?
I can't remember. I can't think without thinking.
The point system's confusing.
Yeah.
Let's not... used to be easier.
I think Ferrari will edge it by maybe 2 or 3 points.
Yeah, I do think I think Ferrari is sensible money because they're ahead by 19 points. It just makes a little bit more sense to bet on them. But that doesn't mean Mercedes can't do it. And I do think it's not like, oh, this is definitely Ferrari.
I think Mercedes will outscore Ferrari this weekend on points, but I think Ferrari will just edge it in the tight end.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I would bet my money on that. But yeah, I think 19 points with one race to go is just
a bit too much.
For a team, you know, Ferrari is a good car. It was the second best car on the grid this weekend.
Yeah.
They had a lot of damage limitation in that search for P2 by finishing third and fourth in the end.
I just think the reason why I haven't put them in the top three this weekend is because I think they'll end up just putting signs on full wets or something.
Yeah, they'll do something. And I mean, you know, I'm never going to write off Max.
No.
Basically.
No.
Now, this is quite an interesting one. As we talk about Ferrari being a very good car this weekend, could Sainz have won the race if it wasn't for that tear off in his...
I think...
Sainz, like, pitted really early.
Yeah, because the tear duct was in the...
In his brakes.
I don't think anyone would have beaten George this weekend, in all honesty. But I do think Sainz would have finished P2.
What, you think Lewis wouldn't have got him?
No, after that crash and everything, I think...
Yeah, but I think look at
if
it.
You look at the safety car, okay, if you add the safety car into the mix, then Lewis got back into it.
The safety car was there.
No, that's what I mean. Then my decision may have changed.
Okay.
If the safety car wasn't there and, you know, Lewis had collided with Max, I think that Ferrari did look good. And if they'd gone onto the right strategy, they would have been okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure if second was ever an option, in my opinion. I just think this Mercedes.
Your
I don't
opinion's
know.
Stupid.
My opinion is right. there's something about those Mercs this weekend.
I don't think anyone would have caught George. 100%.
Oh, well, I mean, Lewis couldn't.
No.
And they were. Although there was speculation that Lewis had some floor damage from that crash with Max.
But we're not going to take anything away from George.
You said you were disappointed in Lewis.
No. What I meant is I was disappointed he didn't get the win. That's what I meant.
No, but you said I'm disappointed in Lewis. That was your
word. Yeah, for not getting a win.
What? No, but when you're disappointed in someone, that's like, oh, I'm disappointed in you.
I was disappointed in the fact he didn't get the win. That's what I meant. Move on.
But you said because he couldn't beat George.
Yeah. Well, I was disappointed he couldn't beat George to get the win.
But you were disappointed in him.
Let's move on.
I found strange. Okay, last one for the week. Another change to the format, potentially. Should everybody on the grid get points when they finish a race, not only the top 10?
No. I like the fact that it gives you something to fight for the top 10. I think if you know that you're going to gradually get points regardless of where you finish, I don't think it doesn't make it as exciting. I think, you know, you know you have to get... Look at, for example, Albon in Australia this year, getting P10. That was a real, like, if you know you're going into that race and you're going to get points from the beginning, well, if you're a lower team, you just know, oh, I finished 17th, 16th, I'm going to get a good amount of points each week. No, having under 10, you know, up to 10 points, 10 places, I think is more enjoyable.
Yep, I completely agree. Yeah. It's like, I like my football analogies. Mm. If you lose a game and you still get points.
What's the point?
Yeah, there's, you know, you just be like, oh.
Yeah.
I think it does. It sets like some form of goal, doesn't it?
You have something to fight for.
Yeah, it's like, okay, well, we have to get top 10 to get some points.
Yeah.
And that, I understand the point also, because then does it make battling for those P14s and P13s? You know, if you've got P14 and P13 battling with each other, you're like, well, what's the point? Yeah. Neither of you are going to get any points anyway.
But how would you work it out? What, P1 gets 20 points, 19 points, 18 points, 17 points, works it down to level?
Yeah. I think, interesting idea. I don't think it works.
No. I like the fact it's top 10. I think, you know, when you see people like Albon getting the points or Bottas fights hard and gets a point or whatever, I think it's, as a F1 fan, it's more enjoyable to watch. No, yeah. That's, you know, like Latifi, when he got points, everyone was delighted, except me.
Who still has to get a tattoo.
Yeah, in the off-season. But that is it, guys. That is the end of the episode. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed it. Final race weekend. In the next week's episode, we will discuss what our plans are for Racecast over the winter. We're still going to do content, not weekly, but we'll still be doing content. We'll be more... I think we would be more busy on Instagram, won't we? Twitter. We'll be doing a bit more busy over on Instagram and that over the winter. But we'll discuss that next week. Luke, have a good week.
I'm yawning.
Tired?
Yeah, I am.
Bedtime already.
But yeah, no, you too. Have a good week. Yeah. And you lot, have a great week.
And we should see you next week for a brand new episode. Hopefully, Lewis Hamilton has got his race win.
Unless you're a Max fan, and then hopefully he's won.
Yeah. But yeah, see you later. Bye.